All right, away we go. Welcome, everybody. It's the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin, once again back here with Dom. Dom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So this is coming to you. We recorded this after doing the interview with Kristen, and that really left us on a high note. That was a ton of fun, and I'm very excited for all of you to get to hear that very shortly after a few brief messages here at the top.
Yeah, so what we have for you primarily today is an interview with Dominic Abate's wife, Kristen, who you guys all saw on the Loved Ones episode of Survivor Ghost Island. And she had a lot to say about the experience, not from the perspective that we normally hear of the person out there on the show, but more from the person who's left at home really having to pick up all the pieces while their spouse is off playing Survivor, which I think is something I'd never really heard explored before. And Kristen had so much to say and was totally fantastic, and I'm sure you guys are going to love that. But quickly, before we send it over to that, I just wanted to flag up a quick reminder for anyone who has not heard yet. The Heroes versus Villains podcasts are underway now officially on Patreon. The first episode has gone up, and henceforth they will be dropping every Saturday. So if you want to get in on that, we're going to be rewatching Heroes versus Villains this whole off season with podcasts every week. It's patreon.com/Dom and Colin if you want to get on board. All right, Dominic, anything else before we send it over to Kristen?
Yeah, all of that's very exciting. And if you have any questions or feedback about that or about today's interview, just get in touch and let us know. It's domandcolin@gmail.com, or you can find us individually on Twitter @ColinStone and @DomHovey.
Right. All right, I think that's going to do it. Let's send it over now to our interview with Kristen. All right, so here we are, and I am very excited because joining us now is someone who I think for the first time is going to be giving some real insight into what life is really like for the Survivor loved ones. It's Kristen Abate. Kristen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, so how are you doing, first of all? Is life finally getting back to normal a little bit after all the hype from the finale?
You know, I really don't think we're 100% down back to earth yet, but we're getting there. The whole finale process was a little bit harder than we expected. So, anyway, and he's getting noticed and recognized everywhere now. Like, it literally went from he would get recognized maybe one time a week to, since the finale, like, we can't go anywhere. He's just getting recognized everywhere. It's so funny. It's like, what do people just watch the finale? I don't know.
Oh, that's so but, over the course of the whole season, he wasn't getting recognized, and only after the finale?
No. Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, only since, yeah, we went to California, and that's when, you know, he really got recognized a ton in LA. And then our trip to San Diego, he got recognized at the zoo a ton, at our hotel a ton, in the airport a ton. And then since we've been home, I don't know. It's just so funny. Maybe people like had it on DVR and just like binge watched it. I don't know.
Is he enjoying all that attention, do you reckon?
Well, that's definitely like the fun side of it, because people have, like, especially in the past 2 weeks, people are coming up to him saying, like, you know, very heartwarming things like, you know, you should have won, you almost had it, you'll get him next time. So, you know, it's all been, I mean, of course, no one's going to go up to him and say, you know, you didn't deserve it, but so it's really heartwarming, and he certainly never minds. I mean, people like think that they're bothering us. And of course it's not a bother, because this is so temporary. Like, no one's going to be wanting his autograph or his picture next year. So we know that it's extremely temporary.
Well, you never know.
It's good that you all understand that, because I think there are a lot of people who come off the show and they enjoy their 15 minutes of fame, and they expect that to last for 15 years after that. So it's good to have some kind of perspective about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for some people that like love Dom, maybe he'll always have a special place in their heart and they'll always be a big fan of his. But, you know, we are totally aware that in a few weeks, all the pregame stuff is going to come out, or a month or two, and you know, it's going to all shift gears to them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we would love to kind of walk through this whole process from your perspective, because as I've mentioned, I really don't recall ever hearing too much about the way that Survivor impacts the people's lives back home, but obviously it's going to have a massive impact on many of these people. And in particular, in Dominic's case, where he has, you know, a wife being you and three kids back that he's leaving behind back home. And I've got to imagine that that's got to be one of the toughest spots to be in your position that I would imagine Survivor can really draw up for a loved one, being left with that much to take care of suddenly by yourself. So before we get into all of that, though, I'd love to hear the story, just the quick backstory on how you and Dom just first met.
Oh yeah, so we met in 10th grade. We in our high school we had like a pit where you would smoke, which, you know, doesn't exist anymore. But like, I never smoked, but Dom did, and he was smoking in the pit, and I would just hang out. And he came up to me, and he had like this stupid one-liner. I thought he was like such a jerk. He came up to me and he said, "Is your last name Messina?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "My mom's last name's Messina." I said, "Okay." He had a Metallica t-shirt on with black jeans, and I did not even think anything of him. And and then, yeah, and I just thought that was like a really silly thing to say. And then just slowly we became friends. We were in the same circle of friends. And I was dating one of his friends that was a singer in his band. Dom was the drummer, and I used to always go to watch them play. And Dom and I started to like each other, but I was dating this other guy. And it took about 2 or 3 years before I could finally break up with this other guy and officially start dating Dom. And so we officially started dating when we were 17. We were young. We were such babies. And I mean, he was at my sweet 16. He said to my mom that he was going to marry me. And yeah, I mean, it's just, I can't even believe, thinking back, like when I look at other 16-year-olds, that they could be dating someone that they marry. It's crazy. And then I went away to school, and I thought, like, you know, I was going to have fun at school. And I got to school and things were a little crazy. I broke up with him, and he was so persistent. He came visited me every weekend. Let's get back together. And we got back together, and he visited me every single weekend, and a year later transferred to Marist, where I was. And since then, it's what you see is what you get. We've been together since then. We got engaged at 23, married at 25. And I mean, it's been a roller coaster, you know, but yeah, we've been together since we're truly babies. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It doesn't feel that long, but
it sounds like this is a recurring theme with Dom, where they meet him for the first time and it's like, who is this guy? But you slowly start to like warm up to him over time and see what's underneath that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and also, yeah, it reminded me, I feel like I heard him talking when he did his interview with Rob recently about how that's essentially like how he got cast on Survivor as well, as just sheer persistence.
Yeah, so Dom first started sending in videos before we had children, like when it was a good time to play Survivor. Like, we were married for 4 years before we had our first baby, and he was sending in videos, and I'm like, yeah, go, that's great, but like, you're never gonna get called, but yeah, keep going, send your videos, go ahead. And I did not know he was still sending videos. Like, it's not like he sent a video and was like, I sent a video, Chris. Like, he was sending them without telling me at this point, because, like, you know, it was so nonchalant that he would just keep making these little videos, send them. And so he made one recently, I would say 3 years ago. When I say recently, I mean like 3 years ago. And I was like, what did you do? And he's like, I sent in a video for Survivor. I'm like, you would leave us to go play Survivor? And my daughter, who at the time was 7, now she's 10, went to bed crying hysterically. I'm so mad at you, Daddy. You would, how could you do that to us? And I remember Dom laying in bed with her and saying, honey, I'm sorry you had to hear that conversation. It's not going to happen. Mommy and Daddy were just talking about it. It's so silly. It's never going to happen. You promised Daddy, honey, it's not going to happen. Just go to bed. And then 2 Thanksgivings ago, when he got the call that they were interested in his video and they wanted more video, and then they're sending all these NDAs. Is that how you say it? NDA? And
yeah. Yeah, yeah, non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, all these NDA agreements. Yeah, that they want you to, like, sign right away. Like, I'm like, whoa, what? I have to sign? Like, this shit's getting real. Like, are they really interested in him? Like, I still could not believe it. And then when they said that they wanted him to go to LA in February for casting, I was like, wait, whoa. What is happening? You're seriously going to do this? Like, you're seriously going to leave me home with three kids and go on a beach with girls in their underwear for 7 weeks? Like, you're seriously going to do this? And honestly, I mean, I think the world of my husband, and I think he's so capable, and I want him to live out his dreams. But I think you look at the statistics, and I mean, I can't speak for everyone, and maybe this is terrible, but I looked at it as there's a 95% chance that he's not going to win. So he's going to win, to live out his dream. So I looked at it as, if I can give him my blessing and be okay with him going, I am letting him go to live out his dream. I am not letting him go in hopes that he's going to win $1 million. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think that's particularly fair from the perspective of the person who's going to have to be taken care of everything that he's, you know, who's going to have to shoulder all of the weight that he's dropping as far as things going on at home. But how did he change your mind and the kids' mind to make you and them okay with him, the idea of him doing this?
So my biggest concern was financially. So I was like, you're going to leave work for 7 weeks. Like, I mean, we live on Long Island. Like, everything is so expensive here. Like, I work too, but I only work part time because I take care of the kids. He works in Brooklyn. He's gone about 13 to 14 hours a day. And, like, without his paycheck for 7 weeks, like, that would have really kind of put us in a hole. Like, so I was like, you know, I don't know if that's financially like a smart decision. Like, do we really want to, like, you know, suck, you know, use up all of our savings, possibly put us in a hole? Like, I just don't know how smart it's going to be. So for weeks and weeks and weeks, we kept talking about the financial risk of all this. And I mean, we did all the research to see, like, if you get voted out first, you get $2,500. If you get voted out second, you get this. We knew that you got $10,000 for the finale. Like, we were breaking it down to, like, where he had to get to break even, where he had to get to okay, now it's a profit. Like, I really needed it to make sense because of course I wanted him to live out his dream, but I just felt like as a father and a husband, and we have this house with a huge mortgage, like, I just felt like he needed to be responsible about it. I mean, now that I'm saying this to you, it does sound a little ridiculous coming out of my mouth because of how amazing he did and how amazing he was on TV and how amazing he was for the world and all these fans that he has. So, you know, I'm just saying that that's what I thought of then. You know, now I see things a little differently. And also, I was like a little jealous. Like, I was all like a little bit like, really? You're going to like go live on the beach with all these beautiful bombshell girls with their fake boobs? And, you know, like, I didn't know who was going to be out there. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not like a super jealous person, but I think it's only natural to like kind of like feel like that. I mean, especially Ponderosa. I mean, I don't think Ponderosa is a place for a married man. I mean, that's like a frat house.
Did you imagine that he would fall in love with Wendell the way he did?
Oh, I mean, thank God he had a bromance. I mean, I mean, well, now that I know Wendell, I'm not surprised why he fell in love with him. But, so I never expected that, but I love it. But so initially, really, it was just financial. And then, like, I always had my little, like, digs at him. But once we like figured that it was worth the risk, and it was more like, all right, hon, listen, I honestly, when it came down to it, I felt like I had no choice. And what I mean by that is I felt like I could let him go and give him my blessing and just say, go knock him dead, babe. Or I could say, hon, this is really not the smartest thing for our family. I don't think it's smart, you know, instead go, you know, skydiving or something if you want an adrenaline rush. But for the rest of his life, he would have resented me. I mean, that's not what I want in my marriage. I don't want my husband to resent me. I want him to be fulfilled and happy. And so I honestly felt like I had no choice. I felt like if I wanted to be fair, and if I wanted him to live out his dream and be happy, and he sacrifices everything for us, he works like a dog. He literally works like a dog, that I had to let him go. So I would say about a week or two after he went to LA for casting, we decided that if they wanted him, that he would go. And I still had a lot of a lot of down moments. I mean, we fought. I'm not going to say it was pretty. I mean, there would be moments where I would be like, well, maybe not, but, you know, and then he would talk me through and I'd be like, okay, okay. And then he wasn't actually told that he was cast till April and he left May 28th. So, the month of May was hard. Like, I knew he was leaving, but honestly, if I could tell anyone, we went into this so casually. Everything that I'm saying to you is what I thought, but it was nothing as bad as it actually was with him being gone. I thought it was going to be a financial burden. I thought, yeah, I'm going to be a little jealous with him on the beach, but I got over that. And I thought it was going to be kind of hard to take care of my three kids. The day that he left, May 28th, I had his family over. I got bagels. You know, we live in New York. We have great bagels. I got bagels and I got champagne and orange juice. And we all had mimosas and I was sucking down mimosas. He came up to me to say goodbye and he goes, okay, this is it. And I gave him a big hug and kiss. And he's like, you're not even crying. I'm like, it's all right. You'll be back in 7 weeks. It'll be over before you know it. Knock him dead. You know, don't worry about us. We'll be here when you get back. I was so casual about it. I did not think it was going to be, I didn't think I was going to, like, you know, unravel like I did. He got to LA, he checked into his hotel, he called me and he said, they're coming from my devices within an hour. So we FaceTimed him for an hour. The kids walked around with the phone and FaceTimed him. And then I heard the knock at the door. They came in and he said, okay, they're here for my devices. I love you. We all said, I love you. And I did not hear his voice for 41 days until I got to Fiji and you saw everything because it was on camera. Nothing. I mean, you don't get a letter. You don't get an email. You don't even get an email to let the loved one know that they landed in Fiji. Okay. Like, I didn't even know. I mean, of course, if his plane crashed, there would have been, you know, they would have called me. But like, yeah. Still, I didn't even get a notification. Hey, just guys, loved ones, just want to let you know they're in Fiji. Everyone's safe. Instead, what I got was an email that said, if there is a emergency at home, here are the numbers to call, but know that if you use these numbers, your loved one is out of the game. Now, I obviously knew that going into it. I knew that I couldn't call him, I mean, obviously. And I knew that if there was going to be an emergency, I would have a way to contact someone. But as a mom of three small children, seeing those words, if you need to if there's an emergency, know he's being taken out of the game. Instantly, what was going through my mind is, okay, say my seven-year-old falls, splits her chin open, and needs 20 stitches. We're in the ER and she's crying for daddy. She wants to FaceTime daddy. Now, thank God this didn't happen, but this is what was going through my mind. Now I would have to make this decision. Do I ruin his game and let my seven-year-old talk to daddy, or do I keep him in the game? Or God forbid it was something more serious, but still not life-threatening. Like, I just was scared to death in that moment. And I remember calling my mother-in-law and just crying. And this is only day one, and crying and saying, no mother should be put in this situation. No mother should have to make that choice.
Yeah. Did it get easier after the initial kind of shock set in, if that's even the right word to use about it?
Well, so I had a moment and she was like, Kristen, it's going to be fine. You have so much support. It's going to be fine. And I brushed it off and I was victorious. I would say for about a week or two. It was my daughter's 9th birthday. I packed my kids up in the car. I drove them 5 hours to like an indoor water park in Pennsylvania by myself. I did the water park thing for 3 days there. I drove them back. I did the end of the school year. I went to all the end of the year conferences. I went to the end of the year school plays, the dance recitals, swim meets, all the end of the year crap that you have to do for the kids. The moving up ceremony for preschool, all of it by myself. And I was okay for about a week or two. And I would say after about 2 weeks, I started to my personality started to change. And people at work started to say, is everything okay? And now, of course, no one at work knows because I couldn't tell anyone. And they started to say, like, are things okay with your marriage? Like, something's just, you're not the same. Something's wrong. And I said, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. And then my close friends started to say, Chris, are you okay? You're really quiet. You're extra quiet. Or, you know, my workouts at CrossFit weren't as good, or I stopped wanting to watch my TV shows. Just little things started to change. And I said to myself, holy shit, like, I really miss him. Like, I really miss him. And it wasn't the kids. I do everything for my kids. I mean, most moms do. I mean, my husband goes to work. He works like an animal. He comes home. We eat dinner. He goes to bed. Pretty much the only thing he does is bring in a really good paycheck and take out the garbage. And everything else I do. So it wasn't my kids. Like, yeah, it's hard to take care of three kids alone, but I can do it. I'm a mother. I can take care of my kids. It was just really, really hard to have no contact. And I just started to get really sad.
With those questions that you had to face from other people, I remember it was Tina Wesson, I think, one of the very first Survivor winners, who said that when she left to play, her family were facing questions because, as far as her neighbors knew, the mother of their family had just suddenly vanished, and they didn't know if she had run off with someone else, if she was in some kind of hospital or institution somewhere. So did you have to find ways to explain his absence, and was that a difficult thing to have to deal with?
Yeah, like social media, I got a lot of comments and rumors. People thought we split up. And so I just let them think that, because I figured in 7 weeks when he comes home, they'll realize that if we split up, we got back together. And I really didn't care what they thought. They weren't my friends. There was a very small circle of people, like very, very small, that we did tell and was inside the circle of trust and signed the agreement and all that, because I needed help. But other than that, I just said that Dom was away for work. And I just really, you know, luckily people didn't really pry. They didn't know that I wasn't having any communication with him, you know, and I don't know if anyone asked the kids.
I was going to say, did the kids know he was off on Survivor, and how did they not spill it to someone?
So only my older daughter knew. And she's like an old soul. Like, she just is like, you know, her word is like sacred, and she just took it really seriously. We just made it a really big deal that she couldn't tell anyone, and we made it a really big deal that we decided to tell her. And so she was really like honored that we told her, and she's 10, she was 9 then, and she's just an old soul. So, and you know, my 7-year-old at the time was just, her personality is just, she's just, as long as she's with friends and having fun, she doesn't really care. She's fine. My 4-year-old, who was then 3, he had a really hard time. He obviously had no idea what was going on. And he just got really withdrawn. He stopped like exerting his will. Like, he wasn't having like 3-year-old tantrums anymore. He just kind of would give up if he didn't get his way. He just, his speech really was affected. He stopped, like, his language like took like a downfall. It was really hard for him. He just didn't know what happened. Like, did daddy die? If he even knows what die means. Like, he just didn't know. Daddy just disappeared for 7 weeks. And that was really, really, really hard. I mean, like, we had really bad moments. He was gone for Father's Day. Like, I still hosted Father's Day with his whole family, like I do every year. And I went inside and locked myself in the bathroom and cried a few times, wiped my face off, and came out like nothing was happened. No one knew I was upset. They all think I'm super strong, which I normally am, but I was starting to unravel at that point. And Father's Day, the 4 of us cried ourselves to sleep. It was terrible. It's nothing that anyone can imagine. Like, I never, ever, ever dreamed it would be this hard. And the only thing I could say is because there was no contact. I mean, I think if he went away for work or for business and I was able to email him or talk to him, I think it would have been like any other. It would have been fine. It would have been like, yeah, this sucks. I have to take care of 3 kids on my own. But I wouldn't have gotten so sad and so depressed about it. But just not having any contact with him, it was just really hard, because I just kept thinking, like, I don't even know what continent he's on. Like,
speaking of what little contact you would get to have over the course of this season, at some point you got the word that he's still in the game and it's time for you to go out for the loved one's visit. What at this point happens with the kids now that their mom is going to leave for Fiji too?
Okay, so this is a whole story in itself, loved one's visit. So a week or two into the game, I got a letter to him to me, that was an indication that he was still in the game. That was, as I calculated, that was around day 9 or 10. Now, this is all just my calculations. I don't even know if I was right. But I was keeping like a calendar of what, how long I thought Ponderosa was. I figured it was about a week. I figured the game started around June 5th. And so in my eyes, it was around day 8 or 9 when I got the email from one of the casting associates saying to write the letter. So that was my first
About 1 year ago today. Sorry to interrupt you, but it's almost crazy. Yeah, that it's about a year ago today.
Yeah. So that was my first indication that, like, well, if they're asking for a letter, then maybe he's still in the game. Now, I don't even... You know, if I don't even know if everyone got that email, maybe they did, but I took it as hope that he was still in the game. So that gave me like a few days of hope. It was like a little pep me up. I was like, okay, he's still in the game. This is great. I wrote a letter to him, which they never even ended up using it in the season. But anyway, then around, I would say 4 weeks in, we get the first email about loved ones, and all it doesn't say, congratulations, your loved one is still in the game. It's so vague. It says, this is the first email to indicate to you that there's going to be a loved one's trip. Nothing is guaranteed, and it's not guaranteed that you're going on the trip. We will be in touch. That's all it said. Then about 4 or 5 days later, you get another letter, and I'm sure a few people who got voted out, then their loved ones didn't get this email. Now there is still a trip, a loved one's trip that you can possibly go on. There is still no guarantee that you're going. I got these emails every few days. Do you know that I did not find out that I was definitely going till the morning of my flight?
Wow.
That's insane.
All right, so back up. I had to set up childcare, obviously. I didn't know if I was going to Fiji. Now, keep in mind, if I go, it's July 4th week. Who's around to take my 3 kids July 4th week? People go on vacation July 4th week. They go to barbecues with fireworks and all kinds of dangerous shit and pools. Who do I really want to leave my kids with July 4th week? So I split them up with 3 different families, but not 3 different families. Like my son Vincent, I had to split up between my brother and his wife and their kids. And then my best friend drove down and left her 4 kids home and watched him for the rest of the week. Because I was gone for almost 7 days, even though I wasn't in Fiji very long. That it's just, you know, LA, and then you lose a day. And then, so I left on a Saturday. I came home on a Friday. So I basically split them up between my 7-year-old daughter. She has like a BFF. Her parents were not in the know, but I had a last minute trip for work that I had to go on. Would you take her? So she took her for me. And then my older daughter went with Dom's brother, who was in the know. So obviously his brother knew. So they took her for me. So my kids were split up all over the place. And I had to just say, you know, if I go, can you step up for me? Like, I'm not going to know till the morning of. So luckily, none of them had vacation plans that they, you know, didn't go on for me. And, you know, they took care of my kids. So I get the email Saturday morning saying, pack your bags. Your flight is at 4:30 p.m. from JFK. So I'm on my way to JFK, and I get another email that says, now this is to all the loved ones. Now, let me just preface this, that we were treated really well. So I don't want to make it seem like that anyone at SEG or CBS, you know, I'm so grateful for the trip to Fiji, and we really were treated really, really, really well. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm complaining or having any ill words towards them. But anyway, so on my way there, I get another email that says one person will fly to LA and have to turn around and go home and not go on to Fiji. So the email said 10 people are flying to LA and 9 people are flying to Fiji. So we all get to LA, and I get off my flight and I take my shuttle, and the handler that was handling us meets me in the lobby, and she says, I have really good news. I'm like, what? Down one. No, I'm like, what? What's the good news? She said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is 10 people are going to Fiji. I'm like, that's amazing. And I start crying. Like, I was so happy. She said, but the bad news is 2 people will not get to see their loved ones. And that was the double tribal council. So I'm like, oh, All right. Well, at least everyone's going to Fiji, so that's good news. So we had an entire day in LA where all of the loved ones sat by the pool, drinks on SEG, food on SEG. Our handler, you know, was there with us, but we all got chummy, got to know each other, and just were free to speak to each other, but like still be really careful what we say at the same time, because like any of us, if we got to go on the reward, could feed our loved ones so much information. Like I could have blown up Michael's spot right there if he was still in the game, because I found out Michael was 18 as soon as I got to LA. And then his mom says, wait a second, no one knows he's 18. You can't say anything.
Oh my God. So his spot would have almost surely been blown up if he'd made it to the loved ones visit.
Exactly. I mean, so then I mean, I don't want to fast forward because I'll go back, but so I get back after the reward, and everyone who didn't get to go on the reward was like literally met me at the dock. They were like, wanted to know what happened and everything. And Michael's mom goes, Kristen, please don't tell me you told Dom Michael's 18. She's like, I know it doesn't matter because he's not in the game, but please, I hope you didn't tell him. I said, Z, I swear I did not. And I really didn't. I really kept my word. But but I could have.
That's amazing, because I can imagine Dom like making up some lie that you told him that Michael was 18 or something, or and just like happening to be true. Or
no, I mean,
he's not creative.
That is an incredible angle for any kind of future really creative player like Dom to take at the loved one's visit, is hear from their loved one say some fake news that a third party's loved one told their wife, and then their wife told them.
Did you hear what Dom said on the rap interview? I had just spent 3 days with Wendell Sr. Wendell Sr. is one of the most incredible people I will ever meet in my entire life. He is incredibly charismatic, intelligent. He captivates the entire room. I mean, if he lived near me, I would visit him like every week, just have a conversation with him and learn from him. He's so wise, so sweet, so kind. When I met him, I remember saying to Z and John, Michael's mom and Jenna's dad, saying, anyone playing with Wendell is fucked. Because this, if Wendell is anything like Wendell Sr., we're all fucked. So when I got to the reward, and we were finally able to speak candidly, because it was all like this like group stuff where we were cheering and making like a fake alliance and all this bullshit. And finally, Dom and I got to get alone. And I was like, Dom. I hope you're not aligned with Wendell. And he's like, what? How do you know Wendell? I'm like, I'm on the trip with his dad. You have got to cut Wendell. If he is anything like his father, you have got to cut it. And I cannot believe they did not show that. And it turns out that Wendell Jr. is just as amazing as Wendell Sr. I mean, they are two peas in a pod. You know, Wendell Sr. is like a politician. He has like his hands in like every board in Philadelphia. He's like a head of a law firm. Like he just to give you an example of this man's like memory and intellect. So we were picking our flights at LAX, and they were offering us like seats like on the airplane. And Wendell Sr. is really tall, and so he said, "What is the jet?" And we're like, "What is the jet?" So the steward, the attendant behind, the clerk behind the counter, tells him the jet. And he says, "Well, on this particular jet, the leg room in seat 16F is longer. So can you please give me the seat 16F? And she goes, "Actually, sir, you're right. The leg room in that seat is longer. Sure, I have that available." He flies and travels so much around the world for work. He knows the seat on each airplane that has the most leg room. I mean, he's so unbelievable. So, okay, so we leave for LA at night. It's a red eye. There was tribal council while we were in flight. So Jenna and Michael, who we didn't know obviously was happening, was getting voted out while we were on the flight. We knew that as soon as we landed in Fiji, she was going to turn on her phone and find out who the two people were. So all of us on the flight were thinking, I hope it's not my loved one. I hope it's not my loved one. And now, remember, I'm the only spouse. So I'm more anxious than anyone else on this trip. Like Clay, Kellen's brother, he is a huge Survivor fan. He was just so thrilled to be doing this all. he didn't even really care if he got to see his sister. He just wanted to meet Jeff. He wanted to, like, see the cameraman. He just wanted to, like, see how it worked. Like, he was, and so Frank, like, Laurel's brother, the same thing. They're huge, huge Survivor fan. Z, Michael's mother, same thing, huge Survivor fan. So, like, I was the only one that really wasn't a Survivor fan. I mean, Dom was the Survivor fan. I wasn't a huge Survivor fan. So I didn't really care about all the production side of it all. So I was really, really anxious about finding out that, because at this point I'm thinking, if it's Dom, I'm flying all the way to Fiji and I'm not going to even see him. Like, I just left my three kids with three different people on the 4th of July where they could get burned by a sparkler, and I'm not going to even see my husband. Like, I didn't know that you got to go to Ponderosa. So, because that was never told to us. And I, you know, I'm not like in the network on social media where, like, I knew that Zeke, now I know that Zeke's father got to go to Ponderosa, but I didn't know that then.
I think that's a fairly recent change as well. My understanding is that's in the past year or two, that, because before you would go out there and someone would basically just be out there for nothing and then have to turn around and go home again.
Well, Andrea's mom and dad, one of the seasons she played, they sent out two loved ones, she told me, and they never got to see her because she got voted out. So anyway, I'm on the plane and everyone's freaking sleeping. It's a red eye. And I'm like, oh, my God, please. So now I'm thinking we're going to land. I'm picturing it. We're going to land. She's going to turn her phone on and she's going to tell us right then and there. Right. Wouldn't you think? No. We get our luggage. We get on the bus. We check into our hotel. Now it's a red eye. So now it's 6 a.m. in Fiji. We had no Monday. Now it's Tuesday morning. And she's still not telling us. And now the anxiety in me is like building and building and building. We check into our room and we're told to just hang out at the resort, you know, get a drink. And at 2 o'clock, we have to wardrobe. So I'm like, at 2 o'clock, we have to wardrobe. When are you going to tell me if my husband was voted out? Now I'm like flipping out to all the, like, I got really close with Mike, with Jenna's dad, Jenna's dad, John. And I got really close to Angela's daughter, Paige, and Michael's mom, Z. And I was like flipping out to them. Also Sebastian's sister, Grace. Like, I need to know. And they were like, Kristen, calm down. We know, like, she's gonna tell us soon, just take a deep breath, like, we want to know too. But like, they knew, like, listen, you're not dying to see your brother. You're not dying. I mean, yeah, I know Z wanted to see her son, that's different, but you're not dying to see your brother. I'm not dying to see my brother. Like, come on. Yeah, I'm dying to see my husband. So and also it's just a difficult situation. I just lost my kid, so I'm just really uneasy. I'm really anxious. And now it's 2 o'clock and they have to wardrobe us. So I bring all my outfits in, and one by one, we go in. And now I'm thinking, oh, now I'm going to get the handler, along with three casting associates that do wardrobe. They're going to tell me. I mean, I'm alone in a hotel room. I'm sure they're going to tell me. So I put my outfit on, and they're, like, band-aiding my nipples and, like, you know, cutting out the Old Navy thing in my jeans and, like, no one's saying anything. So I'm like trying to keep it together. And so I leave the room, and now it's about five people that work for SEG plus my handler. And I'm about to walk away, and I'm like, I have to say something, because now here's the New Yorker that comes out. I turn around and I'm like, who do you think you are? I left my three babies at home so you can make money on a TV show and see me reunite with my husband so all of America could cry. I'm here so you can make money, and you're treating me like a human chess piece. I'm not a chess piece. Tell me if my husband is still in the game. And I started hysterically crying, and I ran off and I slammed the door. And someone came after me and knocked on the door, and they were like, honey, honey, let's get you a drink. So they got me a drink. And do you know, they still didn't fucking tell me. This is now like 3 o'clock. I take a shower. I go have about four more drinks. They come and check on me. And they're like, you're feeling better? I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, bitches. Yeah. I'm feeling a lot better. Thanks. We go to dinner, and in the middle of dinner, they decide to tell us. Like, really?
They told you as a big what? Group?
No. So the handler pulled Z aside first and told her in private. And then we see Z crying with the handler hugging her. And so I went up to Z, and I was like, I'm so sorry, honey. And she's like, it's okay. It's okay. He lived out his dream. And she now she's crying, and she's like, I'm going to go see him tomorrow. I'm going to go see my baby. And now I'm crying with her, and it was amazing. And she was just so happy she was going to go get to see Michael. And so then the handler comes over to the table, and now there's 9 of us sitting there. And we all go, just give it to us. Just fucking give it to us. Like, we all were like, this is bullshit. What, are you going to pull another person to their death? Like, this is so stupid. So she goes, is everyone okay with me just saying it publicly? We're like, yeah, like, just say it. So she said it was Jenna. So her dad was so cool. Her dad was like, oh, it's okay. Like, he wasn't even upset. Like, he's just, like, happy that his daughter went for this awesome adrenaline ride, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we had a toast to Michael and Jenna, and then we ate our dinner, and I just felt like so much better. But like, why did they have to torture me all day?
Yeah, no, that is fascinating that they felt compelled to do that for whatever reason. It's interesting hearing just how close it sounds like you guys all got with each other, or at least that you did with many of these loved ones, like bonding over the course of this trip. And actually, we got a question from a great friend of the podcast, AJ Van Gilder, who was wondering what it was like bonding with certain people only to then like show up on the island and get to find out what's going on within the game and find out that these people you've been bonding with, their loved ones are like on the total opposite side within the strategic, like political spectrum. And I was going to ask what it was like having to prioritize, your love of Dominic over these people that you've gotten to know so well over the last week. But it sounds like you prioritized your relationship with Mike's mom over being honest with Dom about what was going on with Mike's age.
Oh, I bonded with Mike's mom. So when we were in LA, I don't know why I left this out. When we were in LA, we had just gotten there. We had a whole day by the pool and everyone was eating lunch. And I was having like a moment like where I was like legitimately picturing my 3-year-old son in the ER getting burned by a sparkler. And I was having like a complete panic attack by myself on the lounge chair. I was pretending to read a book. I had big sunglasses on and I was just like crying. And she comes over to me and she goes, honey, I don't know you, but can I just pray over you? And I said, okay. And she took one hand on my head and one hand on my leg. And she said this whole prayer over me. And I got so calm and I hugged her and I said, I cannot thank you enough for that. Cause I was just having a legitimate panic attack and you're a mom and I'm a mom and you know what it's like to leave your babies. And I feel so much better. And I just loved her in that moment. And I was like, you are a gift from God that was sent to me because this trip is so hard for me. I'm trying to enjoy it, but it's so hard for me. And we bonded in that moment. And you have to remember that it sounds crazy that I aligned with Z. Remember that I was not the Survivor fan. Dom was. I don't really have a strategic bone in my body that I've ever, you know, discovered. So I wasn't really going out there. Like, if he ever plays again and I'm on a loved ones trip, I'm sure it'll be like a little different. I'll probably try and like give him intel, like if I even let him play again, but not let him play again, but you know what I mean. I probably like would feed him intel, but I was not thinking strategic at all. I was really thinking like survival, like how am I going to survive this trip? How am I going to survive this experience? And at the same time, enjoy it because this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I honestly didn't want to hear it. When I got to the reward and Dom was like, and I remember I was like, I love Z, Michael's mom. And he goes, I cut his throat last night. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, I cut his throat last night. I'm like, I didn't want to hear it because I love his mother. So I don't even want to hear it.
That's awesome. Did you feel like when you were about to reunite with Dom, no, it's like the day of the loved ones challenge, and you're finally going to get to see him again. Did you expect him to be any different or what did you expect him to be like after he was in the middle of, 20 whatever days into the game?
Okay. So this whole day, I have a lot to say about. So we wake up at 6 in the morning because we're told we're getting picked up at 7:30. So we all go have breakfast together with our handler, and we're trying to, like, eat a lot. She's like, you're not going to have food all day if you don't go to the reward, and who knows if there's going to be food at the reward. So just, like, eat a lot. So we're, like, stuffing our faces. We're all sunscreening to death. Like, the girls are doing each other's hair. I'm just, like, sitting in a chair, like, rocking. Like, oh, my God. Like, I just – time cannot pass, like, fast enough. So now we get on the boat to go to – the challenge, and the casting segment, no, I'm sorry, segment producer, I know her name, but I don't even want to say it, but I love her, is the same one that I cursed out the day before. And I cursed her out. I mean, I said the F, I mean, I cursed her out. The same one I cursed out the day. So she goes, honey, I heard you get seasick. Now, I didn't tell anyone I got seasick. She's like, I heard you get seasick. You need to sit in the front with me. I'm like, now, I do actually get seasick, but I never said that to anyone. So I'm like, okay. So everyone else went into, like, this boat that they carry the passengers in where you can't see anything out. It's actually really disturbing. You feel like you're under the water, and there's, like, you can slightly see out, but not really. So I sat in the back with the second producer and the captain. And she's, like, rubbing my arm, and she goes, so are you having a better day? I'm like, I'm having a much better day. Thank you. I'm having a much better day. And she goes, would you ever consider playing? And I'm like, what? I'm like, playing what? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, would you ever consider, like, playing Survivor? Like, I think you would be amazing. And I'm like, fuck no. Fuck no. I don't like anything about this. No. And she's like, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to drive you back tonight. After you see the whole experience, I want you to tell me. She goes, because I think once you see the challenge and once you meet Jeff and Matt, I think you're going to change your mind.
Should we expect to see Wendell's dad and Aunt Patty on our TV screen sometime soon? Or like, where is all of this going, do you think?
No, I don't know if anyone else got asked. I mean, I said no, so I don't know. But
well, do you, so are, we you get... are you familiar with the concept of Survivor blood versus water, where they bring a returnee out with someone they know, either sort of loved one? Is that, are you still a hard no on that being something you'd be open to?
I don't know. See, I would consider maybe playing myself if I knew Dom was home with the kids. I don't think it's possible for us to play together and, like, leave our kids. Mm-hmm. But also, before I even played, I don't even know. I would really only play if I thought I could really do well. Like, I think my social game would be amazing. And I'm really strong, but I'm not, like, super athletic. Like, I'm no Chris Noble. Like, I can't shoot baskets like that. And I don't really know how strategic I am. I mean, I'm not a poker player like Dom. So if I compare myself to Dom, then I feel like I can't play because I'm like, I can't do that. But mm-hmm. but then I look at, like, Suri and these other really social players, and I'm like, well, I could be like Suri, you know?
Yeah, there are plenty of different totally viable play styles. Your husband employs a very unconventional approach that I don't think would work for a lot of people.
So Jeff comes, and he's so amazing, and he gives us this, like, super motivating speech with his big smile, and Matt is just like, thank you so much for coming. We know you've left your loved ones behind. And then Jeff individually comes up to each one of us. He came to me last and gives us a big hug and kiss, and, like, talks to each one of us, like, for as long as each one of us want to talk to him. And there were some, like, super fans there, so, like, Clay and Frank, Kellen and Laurel's brothers were, like, so, like, in their glory. They were just like, this is like their dream come true. And then he came to me last, and he goes, there she is. And he gives me, like, a huge, like, hug. I was so surprised, like, how friendly he is. He gave me, like, he almost, like, picked me up off the ground. So, okay, so this is really funny. So now we line up, and now I get in line, and, like, I get in line first. And they're like, no. You're not going first. You're going last.
Yeah, someone is new to Survivor if they think the wife is going first. The only spouse is going first.
Not going exactly. So I'm like, what? No, I'm not fucking going last. This is bullshit. Like, I. So this woman comes walking out of the woods, and she has a tag on that she works for SCG, and, like, these flip-flops on. And, like, they dress so casual. Like, they have the best job in the whole world. And she comes up to me, and she goes, now, I was assigned to hold you back. I was told that you were going to run on set. You're much stronger than me, so please don't run away. Please don't run away. I was dying laughing. I'm like, oh my God, this is so funny. So now I'm like, cool though. Now I'm like, all right, this is fun. Like, I could do this. And I calmed down a little bit. And now they're like, all right, we're going to walk to the edge of the woods. So now we walk, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, 30 feet or so, not very far. And they're like, all right, the contestants just pulled up. You're going to hear Jeff say, come on out, guys, or whatever he says. And then he goes like, are you ready or something? And now I hear Dom's voice. I mean, this sounds so pathetic. I'm not normally this pathetic, but I hear Dom's voice for the first time in the 41 days. And I let out a cry. The second producer that was in charge of me took my face and shoved my face in her giant boobs. and was like, cry in here. And I did. I cried in her giant boobs. And I got my mascara all over her white shirt. And I just cried. I, like, hearing his voice. But I wasn't the only one crying. Like, a bunch of Grace was crying a lot. I wasn't the only. I mean, the guys weren't crying. But Grace and I were crying. We were the only two, actually. but it was just an emotional moment to hear his voice. I mean, he was, like, almost, like, it sounds dramatic, but he was almost dead to me for 41 days. 41 days is a long time to not hear your husband's voice. And just to hear his, and then Jeff's going like, hamburgers and ice cream and cheesecake. And I hear Dom screaming, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm just like crying and crying, like I hear his voice, but yet I can't get to him. And then they like start. And so like I calm down and now we're able to hear. So I hear Wendell Sr. go out and now I'm crying for Wendell and then I'm crying for Angela and then I'm crying for Kellen. And now like I'm into it and I'm like really listening and I'm like, good luck, guys. You're next. Good luck, go. And so then it's like my turn to go out. And like the second producer that was in charge of me goes, all right, you're next. So that the person in front of her is like doing like a countdown, 10, 9, 8. So she counts all the down. She's like 3, 2, 1. And like the segment producer just like lifts her hands and like lets me go. And I just stand there and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I can't go. They're like, get out there. And they legitimately push me out. I was so nervous. And like, if you rewatch it, you'll see that like, that's how I came out. I came out like a deer in front of a hunter. Like I was like so nervous at that point. And like, and then I saw him and I just could not believe my eyes. Like I could not imagine what he looked. That's not what I imagined. I did not imagine him to be that scary. I did not imagine him to be that, yeah, scary, skinny, hairy, dark. He was so fucking dark. You know what? I thought he looked like a prisoner of war.
Yeah.
He looked like an Iraqi prisoner of war. Like, he was taken by the Iraqis, and he is, like, he's a prisoner of war for, like, the military. Like, that's what I thought he looked like.
Yeah, it's so weird for us where we watch these people show up on the premiere episode looking roughly like they normally do in real life. But the vast majority of what we see of them is them starving and not able to shave or and so forth. And so to us, that's just what Dom looks like is all we've seen is just what we see of him on Survivor. But for you, it's been like 20 some or close to 20 years of seeing a completely different version of what Dom looks like. So it's got to be incredibly jarring beyond what I would imagine most people in the audience ever even tend to realize.
And he never had a beard his whole life. Now he actually wears a beard a little bit because I think from being on Survivor, he's like, oh, I don't look so bad. But like, he had never wore a beard before ever. First of all, he didn't even grow facial hair till he was like 29. But like, he never wore a beard. So like, to come out and he looks like this grizzly mountain man, I'm like, what the heck? It was just like such a surreal moment to see him. And so obviously you see what I say to him. I say, I hate you and I love you so much. And that's because of what I've been going through. Like, I hate you for causing me all this pain. And for all the critics out there, I know he's out there to win $1 million for our family. And I know he's like starving and all this stuff. But in that moment, that's what I was feeling. I was feeling like I'm experiencing all this heartache. And I know you're doing this for us. And I'm not saying I fault you for that, but I hate you because I'm in so much pain, but I love you so much because I can't even believe how much I miss you. And that's just what I said. I was just honest. Like, they don't tell you what to say, because I asked. I said, Jeff, can you tell me what to say? Because I have no idea what to say. And he said, nope, I'm not telling you what to say. We want, you know, what comes natural to you. And they cut a lot out. Jeff, for some reason, was like really interested in, like, he asked like our whole backstory. Like, he wanted to know how we met, like about my mom that died, because Don was like, you look just like your mom. And Jeff's like, I want to hear about your mom that died. And like, there was like, we were talking for like a while. So for all the critics on Facebook that wrote that I was fake and that I didn't look like I was really crying, it's because they cut out like 5 minutes, maybe not 5 minutes, but maybe 3 minutes of me talking and composing myself, to when then they show me then talking again, my tears are all wiped off because now I'm like composed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got the firsthand treatment of what it's like to be on reality TV, even if it was only for 5 minutes.
Right. When you were out there in that moment, just spilling your heart, you know that at some point, however many months later, this is going to be aired on national TV. But were you conscious that this was something that random people on the internet would like latch onto and use as an excuse to like hate you and question your marriage and everything else they were saying about you?
No, I didn't realize, first of all, I didn't realize how much time, I didn't know about Reddit, and I didn't even know that there was a Survivor Facebook page. And I didn't know that people actually spent this much time like critiquing these like nitty gritty things. Like, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a podcast. Like, I didn't know any of this fandom stuff. Like, I had never really watched a full season until season 35. So like, I saw bits and pieces like while I was washing the dishes, because Dom was watching it in the background. And of course I knew Boston Rob and Amber, because like I liked them and I would run in and like watch them together. But like, I never watched the full season. I didn't know what a podcast was. I didn't know that there was such a thing as Reddit. And I didn't know that people really cared so much about, like, to critique me. Like, I figured people would make fun of me for how much I was crying. That's what I thought. Like, no one likes their own cry face. I mean, I hate my cry face. I hate the sound of my voice. And I hate the sound of my voice when I'm crying. So, like, I figured people would be like, oh, she's a hot New York mess. She's a hot mess. Like, I figured people would like say that, but I didn't think they would like, I didn't think there would be 300 military wives tearing me apart on Survivor Facebook saying that I'm part of the Me Too movement and that I must be helpless and that I obviously can't handle my children and that I obviously I'm obviously not a real woman if I can't be without my man for 49 days and all this bullshit that I'm like, first of all, like, I thank you for your service and for giving your husband up. And like, I never talked about that. Like, I don't know where they even thought that it was okay to like compare the two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, did I ever expect military wives to tear my soul apart? No, never in a million years. I thought I was cheesy, and I still think I was cheesy. And honestly, like, if you would have told me I would have felt like this, I would have told you were wrong. I never would have thought it would have been as hard, and I never would have thought that at the point of getting to loved ones, I would have unraveled like that. Like, I was. At that point, what you saw on camera was not me. That was me unraveling, and I got so depressed. I lost weight. I stopped eating. I stopped watching my shows. Thank God I got to go on the challenge, right? I mean, I would have been a freaking mess. And then, so then Sebastian wins, and you see, I'm like, you know, as Matt Coon would say, I'm shrieking from the benches. Yeah, I'm shrieking because I'm cheering for him. Yeah. So I'm cheering him on, and he loses, and Sebastian chooses him, and I'm so grateful. And then, and you see him like pinching Dom's arm, like, you better not fucking go on Ghost Island. Like, I don't care what advantage is there. Like, I need a minute to talk to you. Like, listen, was that the smartest thing to do? No, it wasn't the smartest thing to do. Should he have gone to Ghost Island and got the advantage? Yeah, I mean, if I was being strategic, of course, yeah, but, like, I'm not a fan of the show. I'm not strategic. I wasn't thinking like that. And luckily, it was a stupid advantage that didn't matter anyway, but all I wanted was a minute with my husband. All I wanted was, like, a minute to talk with him about, like, how the kids were. Are you okay? Like, I'm really sad. Like, how am I going to be okay? Tell me I'm going to be okay. Like, I needed him to just be like, Kristen, you could do this. I'm your rock. You could do this. And that's what he eventually said to me. But luckily, I was able to go on the reward. So we're all eating, and they tell us to keep eating, and they tell us to, like, order drinks from, like, the waitress. And, like, there's, you know, they're bringing us mojitos and stuff. And I'm starting to get, like, lightheaded. Dom, they all have to go and go for a confessional. So I'm like, thank God. So Dom gets up and goes for confessional, and I see a medic, like, in the corner, and I'm like, wave her over. I'm like, I think I'm going to pass out. She goes, oh my God, honey, like, you don't look good. She goes, so she brings a chair over. The two medics take my blood pressure, and they're like, honey, your blood pressure's through the roof. We need to get some liquid in you. So they put, like, ice pack. Oh my God, I'm so dramatic. They put ice pack under my hair. Like, now saying this story, like, it's hysterical. But in the moment, like, I needed a fucking medic. So they put an ice pack under my hair. They put an ice pack in my armpits and my crotch under my knees. Like, they're ice packing me to get my temperature down. They're taking my temperature. They're making me drink water. So the medic, she has, like, a New Zealand accent. She goes, oh, honey, I feel so bad for you. This just must be a long day. I'm like, yeah. She goes, you're really overheating. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm from New York. Like, I'm not used to this sun. She goes, oh, honey, it's winter in Fiji, and this is the coolest day we've had all year. I was just, like, so embarrassed. I'm like, oh, my God. It was just like, you know, who knows what the heck it was. So Dom comes back from his walk, and luckily I'm good. And that's it. They gave us 5 minutes alone. The first thing he says to me when no one is listening is, how is the checking account? I'm like, really? That's what you want to talk about? Like, the checking account's fine. I only bounced the check once.
Yeah, quick update on the kids, if there's time, but let's focus on the priorities.
Yeah, exactly. No, so I told him he wanted to know who had the kids, and when he heard that I split them up between three families, he was not happy. He's like, that's not good for them. I'm like, it's fine. It was the only way I can get out of here. Now, he didn't necessarily know it was going to be me, because it was either him or his brother that were signed up to go, because when he left, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to pull this off, so you better, like, make arrangements for your brother to go. So, like, when they asked for loved ones' information, he put us both down. So they called us both. And then at that point, when it came down to it, his brother wanted to go so bad. And I'm like, Anthony, you are not going. I'm like, I am going. I'm like, you can watch my daughter. I'm going. And so I gave him my daughter. So now I'm, like, feeling really good and, like, really refreshed. And, like, I got to spend the day with Dom. I'm just so grateful. Like, it was so production-y. And, like, it wasn't what I thought, and it wasn't as much time, but I was still grateful. And I'm in Fiji. So, like, I get back to the hotel, and the seven other loved ones are, like, waiting like puppies, like, at the dock for us. They're like, what'd you see? What happened? Who's in the lines? Like, Clay, oh, my God, he's so funny. I'm like, guys, can I just take a shower? Like, I'm so gross. They're like, okay, like, we'll all meet up at dinner in an hour. So I go back to my hotel room, and he's going to kill me for saying this, but we're good friends now, so it's fine. I go back to my hotel room, and it's dark, and, like, there's no lights outside my room, and, like, he's waiting for me, and I'm like, he scared, like, the fucking shit out of me, and I'm like, Clay, and he's like, oh, my God, I'm so creepy. But all he wanted to know is who is in an alliance with who. Like, that's all they all wanted to know. Like, they were all such fans, and they just, like, wanted to know who the alliance was. And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I think – he's like, it's got to be girls versus guys. he's like, it has to be, because why did Sebastian only pick the guys? So all of their take on it was that it was guys first, girls.
Clay really seems like the prototypical Survivor loved one that we would think of, like that the audience thinks of when they think of what the experience is like for a Survivor loved one is, okay, your sister goes out to play Survivor or your son goes out to play Survivor, and it doesn't really change your life that much. It's pretty rare that these days, at least, as you noted, like Dom wasn't getting cast before he had kids, and they tend to only have a couple of parents on the more modern season, so and not all of them end up making the loved ones visit, and it's such a massive difference that I don't think virtually ever gets acknowledged by the audience, the difference between someone in your position and someone in Clay's position. And I think that's really the heart of why we wanted to have you on here in the first place, is to get at just how much of a difference that is.
Thank you. And it's really true. And so the beginning of the trip, I wasn't like super close with Clay, but Clay has three babies. And when he saw how I was having such a hard time, and in this moment when he found me after the reward, we got so close from this point on, and to this day he's like the closest that I'm probably with out of everyone. And he just wanted to know who was in an alliance with who. And I said, well, it's guys versus girls, I guess, but I said, but on the reward, Dom and Seabass and Donathan made an alliance with Wendell, so I think it's the four of them for final four. I don't know, like, no one talked about Laurel that I can remember on the reward. So that's what I said to him, but it wasn't enough information. Like, he was so disappointed. Like, he's like, that's all you got for me? I'm like, Clay, I'm so sorry. Like, I wasn't out there to like talk strategy. Like, that's probably what the producers wanted me to do. But that's like, I said the whole thing about Wendell, like I already told you, but other than that, we just like talked about us and whatever. So, you know, he was so disappointed that that's all I had for him. But then, like, we all met for dinner and we all like talked about the day and it just, you know, it was awesome. And then the next day they took us to Cloud 9, which it's like a bucket list. If you could ever get to Fiji, you have to go to Cloud 9. I mean, it's reason enough to go to Fiji. It's like this floating bar restaurant. They only allow 100 people per day. It was $100 per person just for the transfer to get there from like their private like boat that gets you to and from. And then I don't even know what it costs to get like to be on the restaurant docking or what the drinks cost, because they paid for everything. I'm sure it's very expensive. So they only allow 100 people per day. It's two floors. There's lounge chairs on the top floor, lounge chairs around the bottom floor. In the center is a full bar. And then there's a wood-fired pizza oven that serves all different kinds of pizza, but only pizza. So that's all they serve, is pizza for food, and then whatever drink you could want. Full snorkeling gear, and then like a diving platform off the top. Techno music blasting off this thing that you can hear from miles away. It is like the most amazing experience, and I've been like to a lot of places. I am so grateful that they took us there. It was the most amazing experience.
Or away from Dom at this point, and that you apparently, I would suspect, just go back to America shortly thereafter and get back with your kids. But before we get too far beyond that, was there anything else from your time in Fiji that you wanted to bring up?
The entire time that Dom was gone, every single day I texted him. He didn't have his phone, obviously, but I knew that like he would turn his phone on, and I thought it would be like a nice chronological journal. So when he first left, it was like, I miss you, the kids miss you, today we went to the beach, you know, Frankie had her dance recital today, Donna had her swim meet, she got two gold medals, you know, it's Father's Day, but then it started to get, like, really ugly, like, I fucking hate you, we're getting divorced, I can't believe you left me, or be like, you're on the beach with girls in their underwear, and I'm sitting home with three kids that won't go to bed. Like, oh my God. I sent him the craziest text. And then I would be like, I'm so sorry. I said I hate you, but I don't hate you. It was like, when he turned his phone on, he was like, I remember he called me and he's like, Kristen, like, are we still married?
Yeah, it's like day 35. The text is like, I've always thought your brother was better looking. Day 36, the divorce papers are on the counter when you get home. See you never. It could be a real shock when he gets his phone back.
I mean, this is useful for a future like therapist or counselor to have your like descent into madness chronicled over time over the course of a month.
Yeah, exactly. We leave Fiji, and there's nothing really else I want to say about Fiji, but what happens when I get home is kind of significant. So we leave Fiji, we come home. Now I'm extremely, extremely jet lagged. Like, I mean, I've been to Italy, I've been to Tahiti, I've been to Hawaii. For some reason, I've never experienced jet lag like this in my life. I don't know if it's the tremendous time difference, the international dateline. I don't know what it was probably a combination of a lot of things, but all of us loved ones were texting all night for about five nights after we got home. None of us could sleep. We all would go to bed, sleep 2 hours, and wake up and text each other. And we were all on different time zones. So we were like, some of us were like just going to bed. Some of us were just waking up. Some of us were like, I took 3 Benadryl, I'm still not sleeping. I took 4 melatonin, I'm still not sleeping. Like, the jet lag was so bad. So combine that with I just came home really fucked up. I don't know what it was, but I came home and I called my mother-in-law and she was so eager to like hear how my trip was. And I was just crying hysterical to her. And she's like, Chris, why? Like, Chris, I'm getting really nervous. Like, I've never seen you this bad. Like, I've known you since you're 15 years old. Like, I was with you when you buried your mom. Like, I've never seen you this bad. What's going on? And I'm like, Mom, it was like he was a prisoner of war and I went to go visit him at a prison and I had to leave him there. And I, like I said, I had a great day at cloud nine and then I come home and I'm okay. And then I don't know what happened, but like a day or two later, I got like so bad again. And I got like super depressed and really, really anxious. I just completely stopped eating. I would go to CrossFit and I would try to work out and I would just cry and leave. And my friends were like, what the fuck happened to her? Like, she went to Fiji and came back all fucked up. Like, what happened to her? And I honestly, so I started getting actually treated by Dr. Liza, the survivor shrink, because I was, like, not doing good. And like, she helped me, like, realize that it was because of what I saw. Like, I saw, like a prisoner of war, like, and I had to leave him there. And I remember like her saying to me, but your feelings are justified. Your feelings are real. So I don't want you to think they're not real, but you also know that he's having the time of his life. And I was like, I know, like I knew he was having the time of his life, but for some reason I came home, like I came home so fucked up. Those last, that last week was like, it felt like a year. That last, it was like 10 days. It was only 8 days I had to go. And everyone was like, Kristen, you only have 8 days. You only have 7 days. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I was more of a mess the last week than I was the whole time. I don't know. I think it was just I couldn't take it anymore. Like, I was just like, enough is enough. Like, I just want my husband back. Like, you own him. I never really said you can own him. Like, I didn't really realize I was giving him to you, and I just want him back.
Did that go away when he did end up coming back? Did it come back? Did life go back to relatively normal after that?
Well, no, because look how he came home. So he gets to LA. Now think about this. Do the math. I know he's coming home. It's July 15th. What do I know? I know he's final eight. That's all I know. So as far as I know, he could have got booted when Chelsea got booted and been whatever place Chelsea was that night. So I didn't know. So when he landed in LA and got his devices back and called me, he sounded terrible. He sounded like he just got like kicked in the gut. And I was like, what happened? Like, I thought he was going to call me and be like, babe, I'm coming home. And said he was like, hi. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, something happened. I'm like, something happened? what happened? He's like, I can't tell you. I'm in line at customs. And I'm like, you can't tell me what happened. And he's like, something really bad happened, but I can't tell you. I'm like, you don't ever tell your wife that. You don't
ever. That's like literally the last thing that he would want to hear.
Because I'm thinking he cheated on me, or like he was at Ponderosa and like drank too much and like someone seduced him. It happens. I don't know. Oh my God. I'm like, hon, you better fucking tell me. He's like, let me go through customs and I'll call you right back. So we hang off, and now I'm like thinking, I'm like, what happened? Like, so he finds like a quiet corner, he gets a beer, and he calls me and he tells me the whole thing. And he's crying, and now I'm crying, and I'm like, and now I'm crying for him because he's devastated. But my take is not sadness. My take is, hun, you came in second. That's amazing. First of all, I couldn't even believe he was final three. Like, I couldn't even hear the rest of the story. I was like, you were final three? Like, what? I'm like, you won the Final Four Immunity Challenge? Like, what? You held on to an idol for 37 days? Like, what? Like, who does that? Like, I was so proud of him for his accomplishments and in awe that coming in second and the tie in Laurel and Lundell, like, I couldn't comprehend it. And it's so sad because, like, I couldn't comprehend it for months. Like, I couldn't comprehend it until May 23rd. The whole time, I was like, hon, you're amazing. Like, and then, and we were getting together with all these people, and I met Wendell, and I met Laurel, and I'll never forget the first time I met Laurel was in a bar in Manhattan, and she, Dom's like, she's walking in now, and she's afraid to meet you. And I was like, she's afraid to meet me? Like, I didn't even get it at first. And then he's like, yeah, because, you know, I'm like, oh, so then she walked in and I just gave her a big hug and she like almost like cried in my arms. And I was like, Laurel, like, I'm so sorry that you had to be put in that position. Like, I was like, don't be sorry. Like, I'm sorry that they fucking did that to you. Like, that's such a piece of shit thing to do. Like, I'm so sorry this young girl put in this position. Like, that's honestly how I feel. Like, I feel like it's so terrible that they made her do that. I mean, is that bad to say?
No, it's, I mean, it's such uncharted territory that it's still, I think, pretty, the Survivor community as a whole is still like really coming to terms with the idea of a tie in the finals and how that's handled.
Yeah, I mean, so he comes on July 15th and we're immediately getting together with everyone and I'm meeting everyone and we get together with Chris Noble and James and Wendell a ton. And I'm meeting and my mother-in-law hosts a dinner and everyone comes out for dinner. And I pretty much met everyone except for Gonzalez and Chelsea and Michael. And it was great. And I met everyone. And then the show starts and he's like the narrator of the season from the first episode. And I'm like, what the fuck, Dom? Like, you have nothing to complain about. This is amazing. And we have such an amazing ride from February 28th until, I would say, a week before the finale. And then something happened to both of us about a week before the finale where, like, one day we just both looked at each other in the kitchen and we just said, this sucks. Like, it was like we were walking into, like, I don't know, like the death chair or something. Like we both just went from like this high with our community and our friends, and he would win an idol and 200 people would roar at our local bar and my kid's whole school would come and the school nurse was there. And I mean, it was like the whole town has been so excited and how could they not? Dom was amazing and it was amazing. And then the sadness started to set in that it was going to like all plummet and no one knows. Like, Dom and I had the secret. Like, he didn't tell his mom, he didn't tell his dad, he didn't tell his brother. He told no one. I told no one except for Dr. Eliza, and he talked to Dr. Eliza. Like, that was it. Like, obviously Dr. Eliza already knew, but like, we didn't talk to anyone. Like, I couldn't. Like, who was I gonna tell? So we had this tremendous secret. And every, now just think about this. So the week before the finale is his final seven. Everyone is like so excited. They're like, him and Wendell are going to take it to the end. Dom's going to win. Like everywhere we go, everyone is saying to us, Dom's going to win. I know he's going to win. I know he has this. I know. And it's like a stab to the heart when you know the end. And like, it was just so hard. And it like that week before the finale, we were so sad. Like we were just sad. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like, we were trying to take it all in because it was such an amazing experience, but like, we almost felt like we were like, I think he almost felt like he was like letting all the fans down. Like he was, and he knew he was going to let them down. And like, I don't know. I shouldn't put words in his mouth because he didn't exactly say that to me, but I sort of felt like as his wife, that's how he felt. And that's kind of like how I felt a little bit, like we were letting like our community down. And like, I didn't want anyone to say to me anymore, I know he won. Like, it was just too painful. And then to see final six, final five, final four, sitting in that front row with my kids, I wish I watched it from home because that was such a painful episode. When I saw the final six tribo, and I saw that move with Sebastian, I thought it was amazing. Like, I was so proud of him in that moment. And then when I saw the jury roll their eyes, I was like, wait a second. Like, first of all, you have to remember that now I'm like, before the season aired, I became friends with all these people. So now I think they're like my friends. So like, for me, it's like a really weird position because like, I'm not watching it like America. I thought all these people were my friends, and they are my friends. They are all my friends. But now I'm seeing people that I thought were my friends roll their eyes at my husband at what I thought was a brilliant move. And I thought, did he do it with class? Like, I don't know. Like, does a poker player make a move with class? Like, I don't know. Like, it was just a really good move, and he convinced Sebastian not to play his second move. So to me, it was just brilliant. And then to see, and then Jonathan's vote was what it was. And then to see final tribal, it was like daggers to my heart seeing them. Like, I know my husband's facial expressions, and I know I saw how he was feeling when Wendell made fire. And then I saw how he still thought he had it, or maybe had a chance. And then I saw how he felt when Michael and Chris, which remind me to go back to Chris Noble, please, and our relationship. I saw how he felt when Michael and Chris were really rooting for him. And I knew that was going to happen. And Dom told me that they were really, really going for him more than they even showed. Like, he said Chris Noble stood up and said, can everybody tell me here how Dom does not deserve this? I want every single person to go around and tell me, like, he just was really, he really thought Dom should have won. And like, that was really awesome that he really respected Dom's game. And so I saw it on Dom's face, how like, he was like, oh, this is pretty cool. This guy's like, you know, I didn't expect his vote. And he's like, and then to see the people that were really like tearing his soul down, it was so painful to watch. Like, I didn't know it was going to be like that. I thought there was a tie, and I thought Laurel picked Wendell kind of because, like, you know, Wendell deserved to win. I did not expect it to be so personal. It became such a personal final tribal. Like, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan, as you can clearly see, but I don't remember final tribals being so personal.
It's often when you have someone like Dom, who is such a prominent player and is making all of these very flashy moves, like, they often get a lot of the criticism. And specifically, though, when you see someone like Kellen, who, like you said, you became close with Clay, and like, you got to know Kellen afterwards, when you see her going at Dom like that, it must feel so weird, like, being so invested in Dom and then also being invested knowing Kellen, like, as a friend afterwards.
It's really hard. And like, all I could say is like, Kellen met my kids, She spent time with my kids. Like, she's seen Dom. I mean, Dom is an amazing father. Dom's a better parent than I am. Dom is like, from a scale of 1 to 10, Dom's like a 12. He is like, he has patience beyond belief. He is so good with his girls. He's so sweet and lets them like put princess hats on him. And like, so to hear people almost like, I know they didn't use the word bully, but it almost sounded like they were saying that he bullied them. And like, it was just really hard to hear, especially like, I mean, don't get me wrong, Kellen warned me. She warned Dom's whole family when she came to my mother-in-law's for dinner. She said, when this airs, you might not like me. And I just want to let you know that, you know, I love Dom now and that we're great friends. And we were all like, yeah. Have a glass of wine. Have some spaghetti. But it was really hard. And I mean, I love Kellen. And if we lived close, we would be really good friends. I mean, we are friends. But like, if I didn't even know her in Survivor, she's someone I would be friends with. I think she's like a fantastic person and so smart. But it was just really hard to see that's how she perceived him. That's how she perceived him. I don't blame her. That's how she perceived him. But it still hurt me that like, that's how she perceived him. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. That night was so hard. First of all, I don't know if anyone saw, but my girls were hysterically crying. Well, my 8-year-old was hysterical. Like the bottom lip was curled down and she had crocodile tears and she was like her shoulders were shaking and I had to get up out of my seat and like calm her down because she was like devastated that daddy lost. And now this is all when Wendell's like father's on stage and everyone's cheering. And like Kellen and Chelsea and Sebastian saw that. And like, I want them to see that because I want them to see like Dom's a real person and he has children and like his children love him. Like he's a daddy. He's not a bully and he's not a tyrant. And I'm not saying they think he is. I genuinely think they all love him now and all is good. But I think that it was hard. And then after the finale, we tried to have a vacation and we went to San Diego and it was hard to have a vacation after that because like we were both like so a little devastated. And I think Dom was like, now do you see? Like, now do you see why I came home so like fucked up? Like he came home fucked up. I was fucked up. Like we were like, we were like two idiots over the summer. And like, I couldn't figure out why he was so fucked up. I'm like, you were final three. Well, he was actually final two, but like I said, I just couldn't believe he was final three. So like I had no sympathy for him in that moment. I'm like, you played a great game, like, you know, whatever. And you know, like, did you really think you were gonna win? There was like a 95% chance you were not gonna win. Did you really think you were gonna win? Like, are you that disappointed? Yeah, he was that disappointed because he should have won. Like, I don't know.
That's totally understandable. And I think the thing with Kellen and with Sebastian and potentially some of the other jurors was that move that you thought was fantastic. And I certainly thought was fantastic at final six. It seems with at least a few of the people, it was not received anywhere near the spirit in which it was intended. The underlying motivation they were assigning was not merely Dominic trying to improve his own position in the game. I think they did interpret it as him taking an opportunity to almost make someone else look foolish, which I don't think was intended at all. But I think that's roughly where they were coming from. But one person who seemed to really respect the move, along with Michael Yerger, was Chris Noble, who you said to bring up again later on and get into your relationship with him. And I think now would be a good time for that. What has been transpiring with you and Chris Noble?
Okay, so when Dom came home from the game in July, Chris was the first person Dom wanted to tell me about. He would not shut up about Chris Noble. He was like, you have got to meet Chris Noble. He is the biggest personality. He's like, he's tall. He's athletic. He's handsome. He's tan. He's charismatic. He's obnoxious. He's arrogant. Like, he's like, I'm like, Dom, like, could you stop talking about Chris Noble? Like, by the time I meet this guy, like, is he really going to live up to like all he has to say? I mean, Chris, like, wasn't bitter. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, Chris wasn't bitter. Like, maybe he had more time at Ponderosa to, like, really get used to the idea. I don't really know. Or is it that he's an athlete? And, like, game respects game. And he's a true athlete. And the true athlete respects game. Like, I don't really know. But, like, that's who Chris Noble is. And as soon as I met Chris Noble, like, I knew right away everything Dom said. Like, you have got to meet this man. I mean, he is, like, he's serious, he's composed, he, like, has so many opinions. Maybe sometimes, like, he says the wrong things, like, according to Kellen, and, yeah, he probably does, but he just has such a big heart, and like, he just, he, like, wants to be part of my family. Like, I'll let him be part of my family. Like, he's just amazing. Like, he's like a little brother to me. He just, him and Dom have, like, such a beautiful friendship, and I think Chris really, really looks up to Dom, and it's like a beautiful thing to see.
I think that makes the story on the season that much better between Dom and Chris Noble, to know that it ends with them being like the best of friends outside in the real world.
Yeah, really. It really is. I mean, I think we've gotten together with Chris the most out of everyone. I mean, also, you know, he lives in Brooklyn, but he just wants to be with us. Like, he came out for my daughter's birthday party. He's just such a great guy. I don't know. I just, you know, people say, you know, he looks so serious, has a smile enough. Yeah. If you see him, yeah, he's always like serious, but like, that's just him. Like, you have to just like get, it's like, he's like an onion. You just have to peel away the layers and get to like the good Chris Noble. And, mm-hmm. and Dom and Wendell are really good friends too. I mean, Wendell is as amazing in person as you see on TV. I mean, he's going to be somebody someday. He really needs to be on TV because he's just, I think
you may be onto something with that. I think Wendell would make a good TV character someday.
Yeah, he really would. And if I had to describe Wendell in one word, now don't ask me this for the whole cast because I would need time to think about it. But if I had to describe Wendell in one word, I would say smooth. He is so smooth. I mean, like, he had me at hello. Like, I was like done. Like, he's like so smooth. And like, meanwhile, I know he just like took my $900,000. Like, you know, like, you know, like, no, he's amazing.
That's awesome. With the finale, 2.5-3 weeks in the rearview mirror at this point, how close is life for you to returning as close to normal as it's going to get after Survivor at this point?
So we're definitely not back to normal right now. This is my theory. For every season that a Survivor player plays, it takes 2 years of life. So I'm Thanksgiving that we could be back to normal, because that would be 2 years that I've not had my husband emotionally. he's getting recognized everywhere, like I said. He's still thinking about the game tremendously. Everyone that we see wants to talk about the game now more than ever. Like, everyone now that it's over wants to know everything. Mm-hmm. And it's every party that we go to is all everyone wants to talk to him about. And he probably wants to play again. I mean, you know.
Well, where are you on that? Because this is something that you brought up earlier, the idea that he may go out and play again if you're willing to let him do that. And as I said, I believe in our Ghost Island finale podcast that the idea of Dom going back should, in my view, be 100% your decision. Like, you have, without question, a power of veto on that. But where are you currently on the prospect of potentially losing another 2 years to Survivor?
So I honestly feel like, once again, I really don't have a choice, and this time for different reasons. I feel like he should play again for one reason, and he should not play again for another reason. I feel like he should play again because how could I not give the guy another chance? He came so close. He was so good. How could I not let him try again? Like, not let him. I hate to use that word because, you know, I'm not letting him do anything. He's a man. But, like, how could I not give him my blessing to try again? But on the other hand, he's going to be a huge fucking target. Now, I know it's going to depend on what type of season. I mean, if it's like a legend season where he's like a Russell and a Tony and a Boston Rob, if he's even like still interested, or like all those type of characters. But like, let's just say it was like a lot of targets, even like all the social targets, like, you know, then maybe he would have a less of a target on his back. You know, I don't really know. I'm like, so I lose sleep about this. I said to someone today that he was definitely flying out next May. I think from now to next May, I would be super anxious. And I don't even want to know. Like, if he's flying out next year, I don't even want to know for a while. Because, like, now I know how sad it's going to be. Like, now I know it's going to be terrible. Now I know, like, I'm going to get super sad and I'm going to get so lonely. And now I know, like, I kind of need to talk to my husband. Like, I guess I thought I was, like, more independent than I was. And now I realize, no, like, I need to talk to my husband. And, like, if you knew us, like, you would be so surprised at how, like, upset I got. Like, we're not super codependent. Like, he'll go to work, and there are some days we don't talk until he gets home. Like, I'm not, like, one of these wives that, like, call her husband every 2 hours. Like we'll text, but it's usually, like, about business. Like, what time is the dance carpool? And, you know, can I go to the gym tonight? Or are you going to the gym? Or, like, it's about, you know, it's not, we're not like having like these like chatty Cathy conversations, but like, it's just knowing that he's coming home. It's just knowing that he's in bed next to me. It's like, you know, like, it's so corny and so cheesy what they put in the extra footage. And like, when I saw that they put that, I like died. Cause that's gotta be the corniest thing anyone's ever said on TV about like, well, at least I realize how much I love my husband. But, like, I guess that's how I felt because, I mean, obviously I knew I loved my husband, but I thought I could go 7 weeks easily without talking to him. I really did. I thought it would be, like, annoying to be making mac and cheese every day alone and, like, doing the carpool alone and, like, am I going to get to the gym? Am I going to get to CrossFit? Am I going to, you know, going to be able to get a haircut? Am I going to be able to, like, you know, whatever, like the stupid things that I was worried about, which were fine. Like, they're my kids. I could take care of my kids. It was the emotional shit that just like really, really got to me. And my kids never saw me cry. My kids never saw me upset. As a matter of fact, my daughter said to me, "You're not even sad that daddy's gone." And I'm like, "Honey, I just don't let you see it." Like, it was, I would put my kids to bed at like say 8 o'clock. And then I would go on the couch and I would try and watch like The Affair or Homeland or like something that like I love, and I couldn't hold my attention. So then I would like try and figure out, this is so corny too, I kept on telling you this, then I would go and try and figure out what day it was in the game. And so like, let's just say it was day six in the game, then I would go to CBS All Access and find day six in like old seasons. And, like, I would try and figure out, like, what he was doing. Because, like, if I could kind of think, like, what he was doing, it kind of, like, made me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like if he were to go out and do it again, you would be better prepared to handle that a second time around? Or is it something that the just missing him and not being able to talk to him, that it doesn't matter how many times you go through it, it's always going to be as hard?
You know, I would really love to ask like someone else's spouse that has gone through it. Like, I would love to call Amber and ask her, or like Cerie's husband if she's even married, or like just in the Culpeppers, or like, I would love, maybe you can hook me up with this. Like, I would love to like somehow like write to them and find out like, is it going to be easier a second time? Because I asked Dr. Liza this, because I cried to her about this. I said, "Dr. Liza, like, what if they ask him again?" And she's like, "Honey, there's a really good chance that they will. Like, he did good and he's amazing." And she's like, she's like, you have the knowledge, but it's still going to be really hard. You know, I don't really have an answer for you. I feel like knowledge is power. So like, it's gotta be a little bit easier, whereas at least in now, like, I don't know, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe like someone will throw me a bone and like email me some intel, or I don't know, like, now I know some of the producers, I have their email addresses, like, maybe, like, I don't know, I don't know, maybe Lynn Spielman will throw me a bone and be like, it's day 16, he's still in the game.
Well, we can try and put you in touch with people, but I think now part of the impetus for doing this was that no one is really speaking about this experience of being a survivor spouse or a survivor loved one in public. So now that this is you going on the record, you might be the go-to person that other people are going to ask for input on this. Like if my wife randomly disappears to go and play Survivor, maybe I ask Kristen what's that like, because she's someone who is willing to talk about this and is very open about it.
What advice would you have for future loved ones? If anyone is listening to this and a year from now their husband or wife is being flown out to Fiji, what advice, if there is even anything you think you could say that could mentally prepare someone for that kind of change in the way their life is going to be?
So I wish that they would have, told Dom, we've been doing this for 18 years. Like, loved ones have a hard time. Like, in all the psych testing and all the psych interviews that he had to do with Dr. Liza and all the other people, no one ever said to him, your wife might have a hard time. Like, other people, loved ones have had a hard time. Like, no one, even thought to have the conversation with us about it. Everyone else overlooked it, just like we overlooked it. And what I would say to another couple is, if you really want your spouse to live out their dream and you feel like this is truly, what they want to do, of course you have to let them go for it, but do not go into this casually. Do not go into this casually. Know that it's going to be so hard, and know that you're going to have sleepless nights, and know that you're going to cry yourself to sleep, and know that you're going to feel really lonely, and know that even though you're going to have a huge circle of friends and family and neighbors that love you, it's still going to be so lonely. I mean, I have amazing friends, and my father lives with me. My father knew I shouldn't have been lonely. I should not have been lonely. My husband's one of 9 children. I have bazillion sister-in-law and brother-in-laws. I should not have been lonely. They all live on Long Island. There's no reason I should have felt totally alone. And I did. I wasn't physically alone. I just felt so alone. And there were certain people that got it. My one sister-in-law, Nicole, every time she saw me, she just patted me on the back and cried with me. She just knew. She was like, I don't know how you're doing this. I would never do it. You're a better wife than I. Every time someone said to me, I would never let my husband do it, it made me feel worse. It was what? Then maybe I shouldn't have let him go. What's wrong with me?
Well, also, what's wrong with them for thinking that that's an appropriate reaction to that statement? The only thing it can achieve is making you feel bad.
I know. Thank you. I know. That is the only thing to make me feel bad.
Well,
I know, but
it also achieves making them feel good. So
that's the real important thing here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, whoever, if anyone's listening to this and your loved one goes out and you want me to counsel you, I will be there for you. I will cry with you. I know that violates confidentiality, but I wish that there was someone that I could have talked to. I mean, it's Barry, Dr. Mike's wife, we met them in Manhattan in October when his season just started. And I said to her, I'm like, I wish I would have known you. She's like, I'm so sorry that I didn't know you in June. I would have totally been there for you. I'm like, I know, but how does that, if I could have had Barry in June, oh my God, that would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. That would have been I just needed someone that understood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Well, Kristen, what else is there from the perspective or on your notes or just be any other loved ones related advice you would have or things you wanted to get out there? Because this has been a fascinating discussion, I'm sure, for both me and Dom, and hopefully for you as well, and hopefully for the listeners. But I'm running out of things to ask you at this point.
Oh, in all of the heartache and all of the not knowing if I was going and the torment and torture, it was an amazing experience. And the people from SEG treated us so well. And my God, they had the coolest job. If I was single, I would like go work for SCG in Fiji. Like, they have the coolest job. And one more thing. For all the people out there that think like, oh, Dom's out there starving to try and bring home $1 million, they are having the time of their life. He had the time of his life. Every single day he had the time of his life. There were no bugs. You know, they had clean water. Yeah, they were hungry, but Dom said that didn't really bother him that well. I mean, he was on Navidi, so he had a great place to sleep and it wasn't cold. He said it was an adrenaline rush every single day. He's like, because I asked him to describe it. I'm like, what did you, like, were you bored? Like, what? And he goes, well, the days off were weird because, like, you kind of just, like, want to bask in the sun and enjoy Fiji, but you're also, like, don't want to miss a conversation because then you're not being strategic. He said, but the days that we saw Jeff, he's like, think about, like, a huge CrossFit competition where you just like hit like a major PR and you have a huge adrenaline rush. He's like, it's like that times like 20. He's like, when Jeff is like, you guys go, he's like, you have no idea how amazing that is. So like, he was having the time of his life and I let him go out there and gave him my blessing and said, yeah, I'll take care of your kids. Everything will be great. I'll hold down the fort. You know, I'll do it all. Because I wanted him to live out his dream. Did I think he was going to bring home $1 million? No, I did not think he was going to bring home $1 million. But I said, go, you have my blessing. I love you. Because I wanted him to live out his dream and do something that, I don't know, I think less than 500 people have done. Like, I don't even know what the statistic is. But so I'm like, I have to let him, you know, I have to, like, say, go, how, of course, go. It's just also really, really hard. And also my kids, like, so I was, like, not right for about 2 months. Like, I was not right for about a month or two. And then, like, things slowly got back. But I think the reason I was not right for about 2 months is because he wasn't right. So, like, we were kind of like two broken souls. He was more broken than I was. I mean, him and Laurel had just gotten their guts kicked in. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure Laurel came home the same way. I mean, it's just terrible. So, coming home, but Don is like so positive. Like, he was just so positive the whole time. I mean, like, he wanted to like talk to everyone within a week, even the pre-mergers. He called them all. And that's how I hit it off with Stephanie Johnson, because he never even met her. And he called everyone within a week and he wanted to have a conversation with them, make sure no one thought he was bitter or upset and just say, like, I love you. And then Stephanie Johnson was like, can I call your wife? Like, she's like, seems like my like soul sister. And he was like, you want to call my wife?
I was actually wondering when she couldn't make it to the reunion, why they didn't just have you sit in her seat and everyone would think that she was there.
I know, right? Yeah, so she called me and why my theory of why her and I got so close this year was, besides the fact that she's just a fantastic person, she was the only other person I could talk to about this. Like, she was in the know.
Yeah.
So like, when Dom was crying to me, not crying to me, but when Dom was like not sleeping at night because he was thinking about the $1 million that he could have, that he almost had, I was able to talk to her about it. So that's why her and I got really, really, really close. And she's such a good listener. God, I mean, I had some really bad moments in the game and just like stupid things that got to me that I saw. And she would always like take me right off the ledge. Like, girl, if that was my husband, I'd feel the same way, but he loves you. Don't worry. Like, she's just so awesome.
We've mentioned the kids along the way at various points. Now that this experience is winding down, at least in the short term, how are they feeling about it? Have they readjusted back to normal life, or how has that whole process been for them?
Well, because Dom had such a great edit, the experience has been like really fun for them. I mean, like, no, like, they're not going to school, like having kids like tease them about their dad. Like, you know, I mean, I don't think any like contestants are like, I don't think anyone did for Brendan, but I'm just saying, like, if you know, like, it's just been, Dom got like a really positive edit. And so like, he gained so many fans at the kids' school. So I think that helped, because like in the beginning, my girls were like really like not thrilled about sharing. Well, they're still not thrilled with sharing their dad. Like, they just want this all to end. They do not want him to go back at all. But once like Dom started to get fans, like with all like my daughters are in second and fourth grade. Like, once all the boys like in fourth grade started to be like, Dom, your dad did this and he has an idol and he's so cool. And he, like, my daughter Donna, who's in fourth grade, thought that was like so cool that like these boys that like don't let her play basketball, like, are now like letting her play basketball with them at recess.
There you go. That's awesome. Kristen, are you going to be a Survivor fan going forward? Are you going to be watching the show every week?
Oh, I cannot wait for next season. Yes. Like, I'm really into it. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to be like on Reddit or anything. Like, I'm definitely not to that level, but, you know what I love the most about Survivor is that it's a family show and a family experience. And, the kids look forward to it every Wednesday. I really, really feel like it brings the family together. And I've heard this from hundreds and hundreds of people in my community who have never, ever, ever watched Survivor before and said to me that this year their families are closer than ever because of Survivor. Like, I have had people tell me that their 15-year-old daughters who, like, they thought were like off smoking cigarettes are now like home on a Wednesday night and like sitting next to their parents, like eating Carvel ice cream. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The off smoking cigarettes at the pit at the high school you guys went to.
Yeah.
All right. Kristen, thank you so much for all of the insight that you've been able to give to us today. This was fantastically informative and you were such an entertaining speaker and it was such a delight to get to talk to you.
This was awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm honored.
I would just echo what Colin said. Thank you so much for coming on. Everyone who goes on the show has their own journey, their own perspective, but this is just a type of perspective that has really never been aired before, as far as I know. So it's great to have that out there and to have you specifically delivering that. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Is there anywhere you would want people to be finding you, like on Twitter or anything like that? Is there anything you would want to plug? Understandable if not.
I'm easy to find. I'm on Twitter and on Instagram. Yeah, okay. I'm easy to find. They can find me. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you so much once again. And thank you guys so much who have made it through this whole podcast. Such a great time. I'm sure we'll be back relatively soon with more Survivor off-season content. So until next time, I think that's going to do it for today. Take care, everybody.